holy forever. Revelation, not for sure of the exact chapter and verse, but it says that we will sit around the throne. Holy, holy, holy. What other kind of God would you want to serve? But a God that's holy and a God that's righteous. And we serve both of them. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. We're going to start off. We're in our part two of our series, The Power of the Word. I've spent this last week kind of a bittersweet, I guess, cleaning out my office, taking all the books, things that you accumulate for 23 years, and moving them home and going through just book after book after book, and ran across the Book of Mormon. Not for sure where I ran across that one, but ran across the Russell's writings for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Ran across a number of other denominational books. I do not have a copy of the Quran, but I began to think about all of these different denominations and the books that they have or that they use to base their faith upon. I began to think about the series on the power of the Word of God. Brother Daniel, I am so thankful that the book that I base my faith is not something that was put together by any number of men. It was written, inspired by God. The book contains 66 books individually. 66, 1,189 chapters are in this book, 31,102 verses and 783,137 words, and 3,116,480 letters written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And every letter put into this book is inspired by God. Not inspired by any other deity. It's not Buddha. It's not the Hindu religion. It's not Russell. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not the Prophet Muhammad. It's God. God. In the beginning, God. Hebrews 4:12 states that God's word, it is living, it is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. I don't know how you would divide between the soul and the spirit, but the word of God can divide between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Our very thoughts, what we're thinking right here, and what our intentions are perhaps after we listen to our thoughts and we follow through those intentions, the Word of God is able to rightly divide. It is living and it is active, and it pierces. Looking into the NIV, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it said, all scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired. This isn't just a bunch of guys that got together and decided over a period of 1,500 years, which I don't know how they would do that because their lives certainly overlapped. Some did, some didn't. But from the very beginning, the first writer, the book of Genesis, written by Moses, all the way to the book of Revelation, written by John. Every scripture, every one of those 783,137 words is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking, correcting, and training. in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And starting off in our series tonight, we're going to start off in 1 Peter 2:25. And it says, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." We're talking about the power of the Word of God. Every complete life change that we have, every turnaround that I read or hear, has one common element. We could go through this congregation tonight, and I could ask each and every one of you as individuals, what was it for you that turned your life around? What was it for you that when you were struggling and you were frustrated with life and life began to turn around for you? What was that one event? And I could almost promise, guarantee that every last one of us are going to make a reference that it was something that I read or heard from the Word of God. Something someone said. Maybe it was a podcast, but someone reading the Word of God, someone perhaps started a Bible study with you or a family member. Somewhere we heard a lesson or received encouragement based upon God's Word. And many people have improved their lives, and their lives have changed in a significant way based upon a desire to improve their life, and it's founded and based upon the Word of God. So when you look at the Word of God has power. It's sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. But the Word of God has the power to redirect. So if you noticed, if you haven't picked up on this pattern, all of our words are starting with the letter R. And that might be because my first name starts with Roy, but R, the letter R. A little partial to the letter R. But the Word of God has a power to redirect. History shows, however, that only God's Word has the power to completely transform and redirect one's life in a totally opposite direction. As I said, we could go throughout this assembly and we could begin to share our story, and we could find that family after family, individual after individual, would give examples of how the Word of God transformed and redirected their life. You hear this so many times, you know, pastor or testimony services that we used to have in years past, where that people would say, if it wasn't for the Word of God, if it wasn't for God, where would I be? So the Word of God has the power to impact our life. We're all here because of the impact that the Word of God has had on our lives. It changes us. We're all here because of the change that is or has taken place or is taking place. You might be in the middle of this right now. You might be in the middle of a transformation in your life, and it's based upon the power found in the Word of God. So it has a power to impact, the power to change, and the power to transform our lives. God's Word also has the power to revive. Perhaps life has just beat you up and you've struggled in your health or your marriage or your job, but the Psalms 138:7 says, "In the midst of trouble, you will revive me." The Word of God is able to bring comfort and hope, as well as strength and encouragement to those who are in sorrow and those who are suffering. We could not count how many times that I think I've counted it up since I've been pastor here a few years before when we were co-pastoring. I believe up until the last Brother Dagg's funeral, we've had 32 funerals that I've conducted in 12 years. And almost every one of those funerals, without a doubt, somewhere within that, whether it's a testimonial, it's someone giving a story or reading a passage of Scripture, but we read from the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." I shall not want. Now, that's never was designed as a funeral passage. If you read it, there's nothing in there that references, but it's just a comfort. It's just something that is comforting to us. The Word of God has the ability to revive us. And I think one of the greatest psalms, the greatest passages that we can find in the entire Scripture is the 23rd Psalm, in times of trouble. And we've all been comforted by David's inspired words written almost 3,000 years ago. But it is meaningful. It is impactful for every generation. For 3,000 years, the 23rd Psalm has been read and quoted from in times of trouble, reviving us as an individual. Whatever faith or faithfulness a person has, I've learned from experience that when I've been up to the hospital many, many times, more times than you kind of lose track of it after a while, but I've been many times and there and with family members and brothers or sisters that are literally at the point of death. And the family have never, one time ever, has a family ever requested, Pastor, our loved one is at the point of death. Would you please come and bring some Sports Illustrated magazines or some fishing magazines with you? So my father can read a few fishing magazines. I've never been requested, can you bring up the latest issue of TV Guide, because I can't figure out this schedule on this hospital TV. I've never been asked to bring anything other than the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. But in many hospital rooms, desperate family members grieving, no one's ever asked for anything else other than the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to revive. The Word of God also has the power to reward. Let me look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible tells us that the creation and our conscience are two different ways that we can use to find God. Romans verse 1, 19 and 20 states that God's existence and attributes are clearly revealed through creation, leaving humanity without excuse for not knowing him. Yes, we can discern that the intelligent and powerful being designed and created this universe, we believe that in the beginning God created. And our conscience helps us understand that this God, as the creator of all of humanity, is a moral God. One who is pure, one who is good, one who is just. We can remember our last series on doctrine, and one of the points of does doctrine matter was doctrine requires us to think. There is, however, no comfort or joy in knowing God only in this way of a thought process. But we must know him and understand simply how we fit into this whole picture. The Word, however, reveals to us who God is. It also reveals to us what God desires and what he is preparing to give to those who believe and obey him. I don't know about you, but someday, and probably it will be hopefully sooner than later, that I will no longer walk on streets of blacktop and concrete, but I will walk on streets of pure gold. I can't imagine that. One of the most precious metals in all of earth, selling for $1,200 an ounce. And if I have, if I say if, when we make it to heaven, if my duty in heaven for eternity is to do nothing but repair potholes on the streets of heaven, I will be mixing up a mixture of potholes of gold flakes. Can you imagine that? I don't know if anything's going to ever wear out up there. I don't believe so, but just to put it in some sort of a practical. Man, I drive to church in the spring of the year. It's so bad with potholes and about jar the whole bottom out of your vehicle. Driving down the road the other day and literally my traction light came on. I hit a big bump and my truck went up in the air. My back wheels, I could feel them. I'm like, I went airborne over that pothole. In heaven, Brother Josh, we're going to be mixing up gold dust and patching them things. It's just hard to imagine. But you see, that's our reward. The Word of God has the power to reward. The rewards for seeking Him are we find the real Him. We find Him there in the Word of God. We find what His will is. We find His will for us there. We find relationship with Him there. We find salvation in the Word of God there. Acts 2:38 and Acts 2:39, scriptures that we hold dear as apostolic, Pentecostals. We find salvation there. God's Word is the bonding mechanism. Understand this. God's Word is the glue that holds Himself and us as humanity together. It is our greatest and most precious reward. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word. One day this earth's going to pass away. When it says heaven, I don't think it's referencing the New Jerusalem heaven. I think it's referencing heavens. I don't know if Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter and all of this universe someday is going to pass away. According to Scripture, it will, I guess. But heaven and earth is going to pass away. But this Word of God right here, 131,102 verses are never, ever going to pass away. It's going to outlive the universe, this Word. It has the power to reward. The Word of God also has the power to get us ready. Been thinking a lot about this. Man, this world is a mess. I used to think, you know, I'd love to just see this all straightened out, Brother Repka, but I'm to the point now where there ain't no straightening out. It's just a mess, and it ain't going to get any better. If you're here optimistic and you feel that the world's going to get better, it's not going to get any better. It may get better at a slower pace or get worse at a slower pace, but it's not going to get any better. But the Word of God has the power to get us ready. Luke 12:40 says, Jesus is talking. He says, "You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming." Jesus Christ is coming back, and He's coming back sooner than later. And the Bible says that we all will meet God in one way or another. Either we die before He comes and face Him in judgment, or Jesus Christ returns, and all of humanity, we will all, Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The Word of God is the only source of information that can help us prepare for this sure event in our lives. Nothing else can prepare you but the Word of God. If you're not ready tonight to meet the Lord, you got to be ready. And it's not what I say. Sometimes I get frustrated by this because so many people say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I hear this. Pastor, you know, that's your church's opinion. That's just your church's doctrine." That's what the Word of God says. Listen, I didn't write this. My name's not listed in any of the authors. And unfortunately, I don't enforce it either. It's God is the one that says, you know what, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and there's going to be few that find it. But the gate to hell is going to be broad, and there's going to be many that find it. I'm not the one that laid out holiness. I'm not the one that says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm not the one that put this together. I'm not the one that made the requirements of repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. But it's in the book. It's in his word. And his word says, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot. There's no way around cannot. So the word of God has the power to get us ready. This is the core, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the core message of the gospel. If you don't get anything else, get that. Our sin, our debt for sin is paid. That goes back to our reward, our debt for sin is paid. Jesus Christ on the cross paid our debt for sin. And this is expressed in repentance and baptism in the Holy Spirit. God encourages us to repent. I think this is something that far too Christians overlook. When Paul says, I die daily, he didn't physically die daily. He didn't go crawl in a coffin and say, bury me and dig me up in the morning. We're going to do this all over. No, it's repentance. You die to yourself. You repent. And his word is full of examples of those who receive great blessings because of their humble obedience and repentance. The word of God has the power to get us ready. The word tells us that true faith is demonstrated by sincere repentance. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, 8? He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Meaning that those with a sincere and humble devotion to God will experience his presence. Those who repent. This is about humility. It's about repentance. And the word of God demands that we relive the cross. We have Easter coming up, and our Easter theme this year is going to be the power of the cross. The power of the cross. To prepare for the day of judgment, one must relive that day of atonement by being buried in the waters of baptism. For every person who asks, what must I do to be saved? Oh, yes. And Peter responded to that. Repent. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The power of the word, the power of the word, reliving the cross. Now I have a confession to make before we get any further in this. Have you ever printed off your notes for any reason or purpose and you just got something messed up? I got something messed up. I missed a page and I had to run home. That's why I was here late. And had to print off another page of notes. And somehow between my wife and I'm not blaming this on her. She helped me print them off here at church. And I just run out of notes again. So we have 15 minutes left, 10 minutes left. So I'm just going to keep moving into my next lesson, which is lesson 3. This ended up in my notes. So we're going to start off lesson 3. How was that? The Word of God has the power to provide, God's Word provides regeneration. regeneration. That was a shock. I'm sorry. It just took me right off guard. I turned page. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. The Word enables us to receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit provides the strength and the ability to live the Christian life faithfully and productively. It regenerates us. God's Word is made alive through the Holy Spirit. I've said this so many times over this pulpit over the last 10 years. We receive the Holy Ghost and salvation, and so many times we just feel that that's what the Holy Ghost is for, but it's for so much more than that. It's to provide regeneration to our lives. It's when we get up in the morning and we're feeling all frustrated, maybe because we had a rough night's sleep, or we got a heavy duty day at the office, or things aren't going right, and we have to solve some issues and that are confronting us. The Word is made alive in us through the Holy Spirit. That's how God operates. When he told his disciples that I'm with you and soon I will be in you, that's what he was talking about. I'm going to give you the power to regenerate every day. Romans 8:13 states, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Here Paul, as he writes to the church in Rome, he emphasizes the importance of living according to the Spirit to overcome the deeds of the body. I don't know about you, but I tell you, when I look at life and I look at overall your spiritual life, I have more problems with Roy Grant than anybody else on this planet. I don't want you. I don't have a lot of conflict with Dennis Uselman. I don't know that I've ever had a conflict with Dennis. I don't think I've ever had a conflict with Brother Repke or for that matter, any one of we've had disagreements with any, but I've never had just a knockdown, drag out conflict with anyone in this building, other than myself. And I think we could all say that. That we frustrate ourselves more than anything else. And the Holy Spirit is designed to allow us to overcome the deeds of the body and achieve true life as God designed our lives to be. God's Word prepares us for our resurrection. By announcing the resurrection, the Word draws us. Just by saying the word resurrection, we're drawn immediately to Jesus Christ. When we are in Christ, the Word educates us concerning our own resurrection. Without the Word, we could only speculate about life after death. If we didn't have the Word of God, if the Word of God was never written, we would never know anything about any kind of an afterlife. It would all be speculation. But you see, the Word of God prepares us for that life. It's amazing to me, in talking with people just in conversation, the things that people struggle with in this life, and you compare it to eternity. We're here for 80 years, give or take. And that's just such a short amount of time compared to eternity. And God's Word is preparing us. As Bishop would say, that one out of one die. Every last one of us in this room, unless Jesus Christ comes back before we die, every last one of us, no matter how young or how old, are going to die. And I'm sure if we talked to some of our older saints today here, they would never have ever thought. I talked with my dad just recently. He said, "Son, I never thought I'd ever live to 85 years old." And you look at it, and I see we're all aging. Some of us are aging quite gracefully, and some of us, we're struggling with that process. Sometimes aging beats us up. It's rough on us. But the Word of God prepares us for resurrection. We know how to act or what to say as an eternal being, fitted with a new body and looking forward to a very different existence in the heavenly realm. God's Word gives us the words of praise and songs of joy that enables us to begin rejoicing in the life that we have now here on earth with Jesus. But we also have an eternal life that we will experience with the Lord when He comes for us. Only the Word of God has the power to prepare us for a world we cannot see and have a hard time imagining what it really is. But it's swiftly coming for each and every one of us. And I want to finish with this. I'm going to finish right now, okay? This next point that I make has a number of sub-points. So we're going to stop right at this point. Let's all stand. Our musicians can come. I have, as I stated, I've been transferring a lot of things to my home library. One of the things that I've transferred over was I have a collection of Bibles. And I have the very first Bible that my father bought me when I was on my 16th birthday, a Thompson chain. Many of you cut your teeth on Thompson chain. Digging through the collection of Bibles that I had, I ran across a Bible that was an older Bible. And it was my father's early edition of Bibles. He was a Schofield, if I could say a Schofield man. He liked the Schofield Bible. For whatever reasons, I don't remember all of them. Then I ran across the Word of Flame Bible, the Pentecostal Doctrinal Bible. I have a historical Bible that has all kinds of historical accounts of our nation embedded into its pages. I have a Holiness Bible. I have a Finance Bible that it highlights all the areas that talk about financing and blessings. But over the last 12 years that I've preached behind this pulpit, this has been my go-to Bible. It's getting beat up. Probably needs to be retired. It's a Nelson Bible, and I went to this one because I had one before this that I really liked, actually better, but it didn't have big print. I told my wife today, I'm trying to read some small print on some documents, and I'm like, man, my bifocals are not bifocaling anymore. I'm going to have to go in and get them changed out. But as I looked through this Bible, my sword, what a comfort God's Word is in our lives. And I'm so appreciative and I'm so thankful that God's Word has the impact and the power to change my situation. I'm so thankful it has the impact and the words have the ability to change your situation. But in order for it to work, it has to be read. We have to make that application, don't we? We have to apply it. You know, our car won't go anywhere unless we put some keys in it and some gas in the tank. We can have keys and we can have gas, but until we take and we apply our foot to that accelerator pedal, we're not going to go anywhere, are we? And that's kind of how the Word of God is. This helps us. This is our guide. As Bishop tells us, this is my manual for life. You could live life by this book. So as we close out this night's lesson, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. We're going to follow up our next lesson. We're going to start off with tapping into the power of the Word of God. The Word of God has power. We're going to learn how to tap into that power. So as our worship team sings tonight, I just want to come down to the front and just lift my hands and just worship God and thank God for His Word.